98.1 FM. I'm Tom Lounges, and it's time for Midwest Beats, a show all about music and people who make it. Well, tonight we're going to have a reoccurring guest. He's been here a couple of times over the last few years, and you've heard his music here often. I'm talking about Joseph Mojo Morganfield. He is the youngest son of Chicago blues icon Muddy Waters, whose real name, for those that didn't know, is McKinley Morganfield. Well, Mojo has released a brand new single called It's Good to Be King. And he is setting forth to start promoting this new single online this week. We're going to debut it on the radio tonight, and you'll get to talk with Mojo with me and find out more about it. It's all coming up. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio, heard here on the dial at 89.1 FM and worldwide streaming at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My name is Tom Lounges. I'm your host for the next hour on Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. As I mentioned prior to your headlines, our guest tonight will be calling in, and he's a familiar voice, a familiar face, a familiar sound to those of us here at NPR and the Midwest Beat program. I'm talking about Joseph Mojo Morganfield. He is the youngest son of Chicago blues icon Muddy Waters, whose real name, of course, was McKinley Morganfield. Mojo's released a brand new single called It's Good to Be King. It's an advanced single on his new Delmark Records album that'll be coming out sometime in 2021. We'll find out more about it. We'll find out about some of the special blues guests that are featured on the forthcoming album and the new single, Good to Be King. And you'll be getting a chance to hear that single in just a little bit, because we're going to have Mojo calling in, and we'll be talking about all sorts of things related to Muddy, related to Mojo's career, his upcoming album, and, of course, we'll find out how he's going to spend the holidays. All of that is coming up. But first, let's dust off an old record from his daddy. This is I Am a King Bee, and he certainly was. Muddy Waters, King Bee, on Midwest Beat.
I'm a King Bee, I'm buzzing round. I'm a King Bee, buzzing round. I'm a king bee, buzzing all night long. I'm a king bee, buzzing all. We'll be right back.
can make a plenty, honey, when your man is not at home.
That song could be the theme for all you players out there. He can make lots of honey when your man is not at home. As the father of modern blues, McKinley Morganfield, professionally known as Muddy Waters. And he has been more influential than just about anybody you can think of. And right there, going back a ways, and I'm a King Bee. Ah, he's got his mojo working all over the place there. And speaking of mojo and speaking of King Bees, we've got a guy who wants to be king. In fact, his single is called It's Good to Be King. And he is true blues royalty, Mr. Mojo Morganfield. Joseph, are you with us?
I'm with you. Hey, Tom. What's going on, Mr. Lau?
It's going well. Good to hear your voice. It's been a while since we've talked. How is...
Hi. We have so many gigs that got canceled together. I hate it.
I know. We had a bunch of stuff that we were working on, and right now everything's in limbo. Even some of the venues, we're not sure they're all coming back. It's kind of crazy.
It is. It's good to hear your voice. I wish I could be there this evening, but this is the second best thing being there.
Yeah, that's true. I was really looking forward to seeing you and talking to you and maybe going out and getting a cup of coffee or something a little harder. Who knows? But it is what it is, and we've been living that dream for the last 8-9 months now. What is what it is. And
yes, sir. That's definitely.
Even though we haven't been able to do the shows as we've planned, you have been keeping quite busy. You have a new single. Somehow along the way, you got signed to a great label, Delmark Records. You've got a forthcoming album. You've been hanging out with some other blues royalty. We're going to talk about all that in just a minute. But right now, what's been keeping you sane during all of this? I mean, the whole lockdown thing. You're a very outgoing guy. You travel a lot. You're going out. You're performing with your brothers. You play a lot of blues festivals. You're always on the move. So now you've been hunkered down like the rest of us.
Yeah,
how are you keeping your sanity?
I've been trying to go to the gym or just working out, but it's insane. The isolation is actually killing me, to be honest. But you have to do what you got to do, though.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true. We've got a while to talk here, so I'm going to play a couple of different songs from your EP, which came out, I believe, it was 2018. Is that correct?
That is correct. 2018, the fourth single, the full song EP. That is definitely correct.
And we're going to get to something from that in just a minute. That was your dad. I'm a King Bee. Now, when you hear those classic songs, when you hear your dad's voice, what goes through your head? I mean, does it resonate with you that you are carrying on this legacy, that you have really big shoes to fill?
Ah, man, you know what? I don't even look at it that way, Tom. I just love hearing his music. It reminds me of the time that we did have together. It keeps me focused. I don't think anyone can fill those shoes, but we're going to have fun trying.
All right. Well, let's play one off the EP. And again, this came out in 2018. I think it's still out there. It's called Mojo Rising. And it's you cover a couple of your dad's songs, and you also have two originals on here. Since we just heard I'm a King Bee by your dad, and a lot of his songs, I got to say, a lot of his songs give inspiration to the backdoor men out there, because he's got some...
What do you mean by backdoor?
You know what I mean. Willie Dixon-style backdoor man.
Oh,
slipping
yeah.
in the back door while your husband's going out the front. That is some Howlin' Wolf style there. So he's got a song that you covered here called Who's Gonna Be Your Sweet Man? And that's kind of got a little bit of that message to it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Why that song? Why was that one of all of the many songs he has in his catalog? Why was that one of them you wanted to cover?
Oh, man. I used to listen to it on YouTube, and I was singing to it and drank to it. And I heard it. I love Roy Gallagher. And when I heard it, I loved it. And I just kept practicing it. And it seemed like if I was going to do a song of my dad, that was going to be it. So it was like a no-brainer.
It's gotten some airplay too. All four of these songs have actually gotten airplay, including your first single, "Let's Play Chess," which we'll get to a little later. What's interesting is you've got a great band, the Mannish Boys, named after one of your dad's songs, and you actually we're going to hear on this song a guitar player, Rick, who actually played with your father in the last. A couple of years of his life when he was out working the stages. Rick was right there at his right side, and now there you are with him. Tell me about Rick and your relationship with Rick, and was it easy to get him to come on board and join your band?
First, I got Rick to fill in a couple of times, but when I presented it to him, as far as going full-time with me, he helps all of my brothers. He helps Mud out a lot. Whenever Big Bill's in town, he helps. But by far, you know, he's been a part of my band. I love that sound. I was trying to recreate that sound that my dad had or something similar to it. And, you know, what better piece was to bring Rick on. Mm-hmm. So that was like a blessing in disguise.
I didn't realize that he had worked with Mud and Big Bill.
Oh, yeah. Whenever Bill's in town, Bill hires him. And he works with Mud every now and then. But that's my guitarist, though, okay, for the record.
Okay. We ain't letting them steal him. No way. But it's kind of like he's family then. I didn't realize that you guys were all that close with the Morganfields.
Yeah. He's like an older brother, you know. He worked with my dad, my brothers, and myself. So I call him my adopted brother.
All right, we're going to hear him bending strings here. This is Mojo Morganfield, and going back to 2018, who's going to be your sweet man on Midwest Beat?
Sweet man, when I'm gone, I wonder who gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who'll love you, who's gonna carry your business home. Girl, she walking down the street, just laughing and playing with every man she meets. I wonder who gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who will love you, who's gonna carry your business home. I wonder who will love you. gonna carry your business home.
Talk about players. I should have married you. Now I gotta wait till after your honeymoon. Oh man, that's cold.
You know how you do back in the day.
Oh yeah. Oh man. My guest is Joseph Mojo Morganfield. He is the youngest son of Muddy Morganfield, or Muddy Waters, rather, McKinley Morganfield. Wow, I love that. That's a great version of a great song. I think your dad would be proud to hear that. I'm sure he's smiling down on you for that one.
Yeah, I love the song. Like I said, I loved it from the beginning, and it was just a no-brainer to redo it, so we had fun with it.
Now, the beginning of that song, you hear Rick playing that guitar, and that's why I chose that one to kind of talk a little bit about Rick, because he just nails it, and he's just such a brilliant guitar player.
Oh, man, he's wicked on that slide, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was the whole point of getting Rick to be a part of this. He could get that sound I was looking for with that slide, so it was perfect. Yeah, he's going to be hard to replace if that ever comes to that.
Oh, don't even think of that. It ain't happening. He's there for the duration.
Yes, he is.
You've been a part of the blues scene for a while. You and I met probably, what, 3 years, 3.5 years ago? You came to the studio, and we weren't even going to talk about you as a performer or a writer or anything else. We were going to talk to you actually as a writer, but a book writer. What's happening with the book you were thinking about getting together? You were putting notes together, and you were working with different family members to kind of get some facts. And we haven't talked about that in a while. Is that still something on the table, or is that on the back burner because of the recording career taking off?
No, actually, I'm juggling both. The book's in progress as we speak. I got me a co-writer, and he's interviewing my family members. We probably got maybe 3 chapters done. Pretty much the book's about my dad. From a different perspective, from my perspective, him at home. So not the Muddy Waters on stage, but the guy at home, the guy cooking or the guy delegating.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before when we've talked, both on air and off, personally, that your dad loved to get into the kitchen, that he was as at home in the kitchen as he was on a stage. What were some of the favorite meals that dad would cook?
He had a wine chicken. It was one of his favorite recipes. He added white wine to a baked chicken, as a sauce. It was just delicious. But my dad taught me to cook. He cooked better than most women. Well, any of his wives, that's for sure. But he was a great cook. And I think my first cooking lesson was fried bologna.
I started with that, too.
Yeah, with it bubble up in the middle.
Yep. If you cut it in half first, it doesn't bubble and it browns better.
Exactly. But that was one of my first lessons. I think I was in maybe 3rd grade.
Fried bologna. You know, now I got a taste for that. I'm going to have to go home after the show and make me some fried bologna. That said, let's talk about Thanksgiving's right around the corner. It's just a couple days away, Joseph. You have a new situation. You are newly married. What's Thanksgiving going to be like this year for you?
Well, not the same, being a COVID year. So we pretty much, just my wife and I, are You know, we're isolated from everyone. We actually quarantined right now. She's working from home, and pretty much it's just her and I for Thanksgiving. My kids are away. Her kids are away. So just the two of us this year. And speaking of my wife, she's right here. Deborah, Tom.
Hello.
We are getting the kids on a Zoom call, which should be just a kick to get that whole tribe. There's a lot of them.
It's interesting because you guys picked a good time to get married. If you're going to have to be hunkered down in isolation, it's best to do it when you're newly married.
Good thing we can't have any more kids, buddy.
Going to have a whole family of musicians. You guys would be like the Jackson 5 or the Partridge Family or the Cowsills or something like that.
It's COVID when it came out with a whole band.
Now, with what exactly does your wife do that she's working from home?
I'll let her tell you.
Oh, okay.
I run a Meals on Wheels program in northeastern Illinois. So the meals are still going out, but we're trying to limit the number of people in the office.
Okay, so you're making sure people are fed this holiday.
We are, and that's no easy task between COVID and just the rising need with, you know, more seniors. Now, I'll put my work hat on. 10,000 seniors or 10,000 people turn 60 every day in this country, and we are ill-equipped to handle it. So we're already at this mad scramble to try to serve everyone, and then you add COVID, and we're trying to make Thanksgiving pretty special for people. So
right.
There's a lot going on. There's a great meal program in, there are a bunch of them in Indiana, so...
Well, that's where we're at here.
My friends over there.
Well, you know, if it really gets tight, I know this guy that makes a really mean bologna sandwich.
I'm charging my ass too.
So how did this whole deal come about? You've been hunkered down now. Somehow you found time to get married and set up a new life and create a new batch of music in the 8 months that I haven't really seen or talked to you. So what happened that Delmark Records got in the picture and that you've created this new body of work, and how did that all come about?
Well, I remember we were talking, and we were going to do a new album
right
this year, and we decided to wait because we couldn't promote it because of the virus. So then we came up with the idea of putting a single out just so we can keep our names out there. So that was the plan. So we've been rehearsing these songs for like over a year now. I got an album ready to go, but it didn't make sense to really put it out. We couldn't really promote it the right way.
So how many songs is this going to be? We were talking last time. You were looking to do a full-length album. Is it still a full-length or is it another EP?
No, it will be a full-length. So when I went to go record Good to Be King, we laid down three tracks. So I got a song called Galveston Key and Baby I Can Tell. We've been performing those songs for a while now. So and then we got more songs in the back burner. We just waiting. I plan on going back in the studio in January. Hope to get the new CD out sometime 2021, probably late spring, early summer.
Okay. And you've got three songs basically in the can. Are they mixed? Are they mastered? Are they basically done?
I just got to do vocals. The musical part is done.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to sing to them.
Now, you've got a couple of special friends on there. You've got Mr. Brooks and you've got Mr. Branch. So let's talk a little bit about how you guys got together and got them involved. I mean, it's kind of cool to have some big names along with yourself on there for this first album.
I've just been so fortunate enough, Tom. So many artists have just been offering their help. I mean, Mike Wheeler helped when Mississippi found me. I don't know if you remember that, Mike Wheeler.
Yep.
Just people just been so nice. Bob McGolan's willing to help. I got these cats calling me who wants to help and willing to do it for free, to be honest. But me and Billy have been friends for a while. Usually my band opens up for Billy at Buddy Guy's.
Okay.
So, you know, we established a relationship. And I asked Billy to do a song called Break the Devil's Hole, which the song, my first song I've written. And he agreed to do it. But when Good to Be King, we went to go do that. I was like, we might as well bring Billy on this one too, you know. So we gave him a call. He decided to do it, and here we are.
So we got Billy Branch out there. We've got Ronnie Baker Brooks. We've got Steady Rollin' Bob Margolin getting involved. Obviously, Rick is there. Who's your rhythm section?
Oh, my goodness. You mean as far as Chris Alexander's on drum?
Okay, and he's a Manish boy.
Oh, he's one of my regulars. And Mike Flynn, another Manish boy, who's on bass.
Okay.
His brother, Billy Flynn, excuse me.
Wow. So we've got these songs that are almost done. We've got Delmark Records, which is one of the bigger blues labels out there. You know, everyone talks about Alligator, and Alligator is the biggest independent. But Delmark has been around a lot longer, I think, and they've been one of the monster makers, so to speak, when it comes to some of the great blues artists out there. How did you get in touch with them, or how did they get in touch with you? Because you were talking about putting an album out, and you were hoping to get a label, but nothing was concrete last time we talked, and now suddenly Delmark is there. And they're pushing you.
Yeah, it was weird how that happened. If you think about the EP I put out in 2018, I thought it was some good songs on there, but it really didn't get out like I wanted it to. You agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Okay, yeah, so they found out that I was putting a single out, and they contacted me. And we talked, we negotiated, and here we are. So now Delmark's put it out, and they've done so much with that one single that I could ever do with the four songs that we did, you know.
And you did a do-it-yourself project, though, with the first. To be honest, I mean, you're new at it, basically, wearing the hat of record mogul, and you guys put it out, and you're performing, you're writing, you're recording, and then you're out there hustling it yourself. So I think it did pretty well, considering that you were
No labels. Yeah, but we promoted as much as we could, you know?
Right, and you did get out there. A lot of people knew who you were. You did some very prominent shows. I mean, having the Morgan Field name helps, but you got to have the material and the talent to back it, and you've done that.
That is correct. Name alone is not enough. I've learned that when I started. There were some embarrassing moments, believe me.
Now, these four songs, because they didn't get the big exposure, are you going to be using any of these four from the EP on the new album?
That was the plan, but we just recently found out that we couldn't. I actually have to re-record those songs in order to use them again.
Really? Even though you put it out yourself, and you've got the same producer, right, Michael Freeman?
That is correct.
So yeah, I'm lost on that. Why would you have to re-record when your same team is there?
I don't know, because it's been released already. So I don't know if it's a re-release, but we're still looking into that.
Wow.
So hopefully I don't have to redo them. And if so, my voice is a lot stronger than what it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have a problem going back there and just, you know, tweaking it a little bit.
And you've been doing these songs live for a while now, so I think you've got any bugs or warts worked out, too.
Pretty much, yeah. Definitely.
Might make for a better recording if you think about it.
How about that one song, Blow and Blow, the one we couldn't
sing? Oh, I think you need to leave that one on the table, my friend.
I'm putting it on there.
Oh, my goodness. For those that don't get that inside joke, Mojo and I were doing some festival dates last summer and the summer before, and it seemed like every time he would play that song on stage, which was one of the opening tracks, if not the opening track, Blow, Wind, Blow, one of his dad's songs, here come the clouds and the rain and the tents blowing down, and the one time it was true hell. The skies opened up. And poor Chris Alexander, he was stranded in my dressing room. Remember that?
I remember when they had his dad with him, right?
Yeah, he was there for about 3 hours. Couldn't get out because of the wind and the rain. It was insane. And so I never want you to play that song at one of my shows.
That's what I know my mojo is working. If it clouds up, we good.
You know it. You know it. Well, let's play that new single. Let's play it. It's Good to Be King. Tell me about the writing process. Where did this come from?
It comes from a guy from Louisiana, Big Daddy Gumbo.
Big Daddy Gumbo?
Yes, sir.
I love that name alone.
He originally did the song and sent it to me. I liked it. So we tweaked it a little bit, and here we are.
All right. Now, is this the finished version that we're actually going to hear on the album, or is this like a nearly done demo?
No, this is done.
This is done.
Show finish.
All right. I'm going to send this out to Big Daddy Gumbo, listening in Louisiana somewhere, to his NPR channel. And we heard from the King Bee as we started things off, Mr. Muddy Waters. We're going to hear from the new king. The king is dead. Long live the king. Joseph Morganfield, right here, right now. Hell, King Mojo. Good to be hey. King.
What's up, Tom?
Bend down and kiss his ring.
You know what I really wanted to say.
I know. I was waiting for that to come out. You know, it's interesting. For those who just joined us, we're talking to Muddy Waters' son. Muddy was McKinley Morganfield. We're talking to Joseph Morganfield. And having a famous surname like that, it is a blessing and a curse at the same time. And I'm sure, you know, your brothers went through it. Big Bill Morganfield, Mud Morganfield. We certainly have seen the Baker boys, Ronnie Baker and Wayne Baker Brooks, go through it. Lonnie Brooks' sons. What's interesting is that so far all of you have stepped out while keeping you know, the positive parts of the famous name, the father figure, alive and well, you've all moved into your own realm. Now, it would be easy for you, being the youngest, to kind of take a little bit of Mud, a little bit of Big Bill, a little bit of Dad, and be, you know, a combination of that, a gumbo of the Morgan Field influences. But you're stepping out. Your sound is different than Mud's, different than Big Bill's. And while you have a lot of your dad in you and you're covering a lot of his music, you're doing it in a unique style. How hard is that? And is it hard being Muddy's son?
Not at all. You know, I grew up being around my dad. I didn't see him as Muddy. He was just Dad. And growing up with him and going to gigs with him, going to rehearsal with him, even though I kind of started late in this, but I've been around the blues all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want my own style. I don't want to be a gimmick or a copycat. I want to, you know, when I started off, I did my dad's songs because it's the only songs I knew.
Right.
As I grow as an artist, I'm going to have my own song. I'm going to always play my dad's song, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to always have my own music, my own material. I want to be my own person.
And that's taking shape right now with this new Delmark recording, because they are all primarily new songs, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And then we've got the two covers that are on the EP, which are part of your live set, along with Caledonia and a few of your other dad's favorites that are in the live show. Honestly, I can't wait until you get to that point. Maybe another album or two, when you can do a Mojo Live album, kind of like your dad had done with Johnny Winter producing. That's still one of my favorite albums of all time, is Mud Live.
That one in Father and Sons. I love Father and Sons.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So being Muddy's son, what was it like at Thanksgiving with Dad? What was a Thanksgiving dinner like at the Morgan Field households in Westmont?
Oh, God. They would start cooking it tonight, actually. We had a feast. We actually had people who we hired to come cook.
Oh, wow. I know you have a big family, but my goodness.
Well, now, I don't know if you're used to African-American soul food, but we used to have chitlins, and he would have somebody come clean the chitlins about this time. So, but we would just went all out with, you know, big meals. The desserts, it was just all out big family event.
Hmm.
One of the best times ever.
Is that a tradition? Obviously not this year, but is that still a tradition with you and your brothers? Do you all get together and do stuff?
Not this year. Actually, it's kind of hard. Bill's in Atlanta, and we all kind of separated. Bud's always on the road. I find it more easier getting together with my own children than my siblings. But being married now, and I have two new stepdaughters, so the key is to try to get my new family and children together as one.
Any of them musical?
I got a couple of new dancers. my wife's daughters, they know ballet dancing.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were dancers, actually.
You can take ballet and dirty it up a little bit with some blues.
We can blues it up a little bit.
There you go. let's talk about the future. You're at a point now, you're signed to a major blues label. You've got this amazing album that, as soon as we get through this COVID madness, you're ready to put out, you're ready to drop. You're already charting on the blues record plays and radio plays with Good to Be King. I mean, you went to number one on the blues charts with that already.
Yeah, that was totally shocking for us, surprisingly. Like I said, the whole purpose of putting Good to Be King out was to keep our name out there. And it's just been doing so good. So we're excited, and we're going to build off this momentum, definitely.
Are you going to be doing a music video, per se, for that?
It's in the works. Yeah, we've talked about it with Delmar, and they want to do one. So that's probably the next thing, is get the video out now.
All right. Well, let's talk about the future. Once we get through COVID, are you planning to do a full tour, or are you going to stay around Chicagoland?
Time, whatever comes in. I know I got plans to go to Ireland, Germany, and France sometime in the fall. Plus, any gigs you get me, hint, hint. I love working with you. You've been giving me gigs since day one, so I would love for that to continue. Like I said, stuff is slowly starting to come in, but with the COVID, nothing is concrete right now, though.
Right, right. One of the things I like about the blues is that, you know, with all the things that were going on this summer in the streets of Chicago and everywhere, the madness that was out there with the races clashing and fighting and marching and all the things that were both positive and negative, the blues is one of those safe places. It's the Switzerland of music. It's black culture, but the whites have embraced it. And your dad was a big part of that. When he started out, when Lomax was doing the field recordings for the Smithsonian, it was definitely a black culture thing. But when your dad went to Europe and played his music along with Willie Dixon and Chuck Berry and a few of the others, Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, all these guys absorbed it and brought it back to us as a white music that was blended with the black culture, and it became universal. So it's almost like blues is the ambassador of music in mixing the cultures. Have you seen a rise in blues popularity because of all of what's going on? I mean, Shamika Copeland was on the show recently, and she's had a few political style songs, on Civil War and the song Americans, that no matter what we are, black, white, gay, straight, we're all Americans first. And it seems to be that unifying music. The hip hop could be either way, rock could be either way, country certainly could be either way, but blues is universal. As a blues ambassador, as a blues artist on the rise with a great lineage and heritage, what do you see your role in this whole cultural and racial environment that we're in?
I don't know. As far as an artist, I don't like to do politics.
Okay.
I have my own beliefs, believe me. But like you were saying, the blues is the foundation of music, you know? There's no black and white in blues. It's just blues, you know, because anybody can relate to it, any culture, any color, any religion. You know, everybody goes through blues. I remember as a kid, you know, the majority of my father's audience were black.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, after going to Europe and meeting the Stones and Johnny Winters and Eric Clapton, I would go to these gigs as a teenager, and the majority were all white now.
Right.
So I saw the transformation. I don't know. I don't see blues if anybody like it or loving the blues racist, to be honest. It's just like one. Well, I'm sure you have those, you know, could go either way. But for the most part, it's been pretty safe.
Okay.
One culture, one music.
What's the response been here in Chicago to the new music? I mean, you are often at Buddy Guy's. You play a lot of the blues haunts. You're certainly embedded in the blues scene here in Chicago. You are a blues ambassador. In fact, you're in the Blues Hall of Fame as an ambassador and now as an artist. What do you see? What kind of response have you seen to the new music?
All positive. Like moving forward, people want, we have to change with the blues. We got to embrace the new talent, the young guys here, so they can pass, we can pass the torch, and they'll pass the torch. And when I first started doing this, my only purpose was to keep my father's legacy alive,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost. That's still my main goal, but also to create my own name and my own style, my own music. But, you know, the blues is the foundation. We've been here. You see a lot of music come and go, but we're still here, and we're not going anywhere, to be honest.
All right, and it's in good hands with the likes of the Baker Boys, Baker Brooks, and Billy Branch, and some of the other young, Selwyn Birchwood. What an amazing talent coming up the ranks.
What about Kingfish, the young guy out of Clarksville?
Yep.
That's my dad's hometown, so that was great to see that.
Wow. So yeah. With the new album, again, Mojo Morganfield, the Manish Boys, what is the title of the album? Are you calling it Good to Be King? Is that the name of the album as well as the first single?
No, this is just a single on the album. But as far as the album name, we haven't decided yet.
Okay.
So we're still working on that, yeah.
And we talked about some of the great guests, Ronnie Baker Brooks, Billy Branch. There's also Brother John Katke?
Oh, yeah.
Brother I'm not John familiar with him. Who's that?
Oh, my goodness. He's one of the baddest musicians in Chicago. This guy plays like three instruments.
I have never heard of him.
He played a gig with us. He fills in for me every now and then. And I could swear you did a gig with us before, huh?
Okay, well, maybe I've seen him and just didn't meet him that day.
Yeah.
So are these guys on all of the songs or selected songs? I mean, was it a session where everybody just came down and says, we're going to kick it all out now, and Billy's blowing harp and Ronnie's playing guitar and, you know, and fueling with Rick there? How does it work? How many songs are they on?
I got Billy coming back for one more, two total. Ronnie's just for the one song. Now, Brother John's going to do the whole album with. So we already discussed that. I got Brother John for the entire album. Pretty much it's going to be like a list of all stars.
Okay.
I got Bob McGolin coming in. Bob Kortor might come in. And we are trying to land Bonnie Raitt.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
You know, you ought to try to get Becca Bramlett, too. You know, Bonnie Bramlett's daughter. She's got a heck of a blues voice, and just like her mama.
Really?
Yeah. I could set you up with that. I could give you a contact there.
All right. We'll hook that up, then. We'll reach out for her, you know?
Yeah, she's a great talent. Of course, she played on all the Eric Clapton stuff, her mom, you know, Bonnie, and Delaney, Bonnie and Delaney and Bonnie, rather.
Name, yes.
Yeah, good stuff. They were on George Harrison stuff, all that good things. But so this new album's coming out spring, summer, hopefully, if we get through all this.
Michael Freeman's producer. Me and Mike been working together for a while. I'm comfortable with him. I like how he works, so we're teaming up again.
Well, he came out at the Bad Company concert we did, and I got to meet Michael there. What's the connection with Michael? How did you guys get together?
He wants to interview my dad. We talked about it, and we've been friends ever since.
Okay, and he certainly has a handle on your sound, I'll tell you that.
Yes, he's just a good guy. We get along pretty good. Good chemistry. Just like me and you, Tom. Good chemistry.
That always helps when you're in the music business.
It does.
We got just a couple minutes left. I just want to remind people they can keep up with you at Facebook, facebook.com, joseph.morganfield. Is a great place to find your information. Also, Joseph Morganfield, JosephMojoMorganfield.com is where you can find his Facebook page, or his website, rather. And you're keeping up on those pretty well. I see pictures all over the place here, and of the album single and things like that. Are you going to be, is that where you're going to start posting your dates once they start getting booked?
Yeah, once we start getting some dates coming in, you can find them on Facebook or our website. Instagram. We on all social media, so it shouldn't be too hard to find.
All right. Who other than your dad has been your biggest musical influence? Is there any artist, whether it's blues or not?
Oh, God. I love Johnny Winters. Eric Clapton. I had the pleasure of meeting him. Jeff Beck, Paul Rogers. We can keep going.
Okay.
Remember, I grew up in Westmont, so I'm like a suburban kid. So.
Well, I remember you telling me that your dad gave you your first guitar, but it was Bob Margolin who taught you the first licks on it. Now, I don't see you playing guitar. Is that something you want to pick up again?
I've been practicing it the whole time, and when it's time to bring that bad boy out, I will. I don't want to embarrass myself, so I'm going to wait until I'm comfortable enough to bring it out.
Blow the rust off the strings a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of rust.
Now, you mentioned Bob being on these sessions, too. Is he going to do just one or two tracks, or do you think he's going to hang out for a while?
It's more like a guest. This whole album would be actually full of guests.
Okay.
We had Mike Wheeler on one song, and Billy Branch is going to be on two. Ronnie was on one. So we get a couple more and finish it off now.
All right. Well, hopefully you can get the hook out and pull Wayne Baker Brooks in as well. You know, we got that date with him if it ever happens.
Yeah, we had some plan with Wayne, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a double headline date that we were going to do at the Performing Arts Center in Munster, and that's still in limbo. It was moved from last year. Moved from last summer to this coming summer. I don't know if it's going to happen still because of everything going on, but we're still hopeful that it'll happen this summer over there or somewhere. And move it on. But is there any final thoughts or comments you'd like to say to anybody?
Oh, no, I just had to thank you. I appreciate our friendship and working with you. I look forward to the future. Go get Good to Be King is out, and look for the new CD 2021.
All right. I got to say, when I saw the cover of the single, the cover of the album, rather, with you holding the microphone, I've told you before, certain angles, you look like your dad to me. And that album, Oh, my God. I mean, I look at some old muddy pictures when he was your age, and you look at you, and when your head's tilted a certain way, you don't need to have the name. You don't need to have the sound. You can look at your face and tell you that the DNA is there.
You know, it was I lost a photographer, a great photographer, actually, which I hate. But this one girl I know since grade school. I've known her since, fifth grade, and we grew up together, and she's a photographer. It was just, we went in for a project of hers, and we shot her project, and we looked at the pictures, needing to find a picture for the 3D, and here we go. It was just a perfect fit.
It is a really, really good picture, and again, you can see your dad in so many ways in this, and I had the pleasure of working with him once or twice in the past before we lost him. And even though he was up in years at that point, I've been a fan for many years. So I look at you, I look at his old pictures, and it's definitely there. I mean, as even more so than Big Bill and Mud, you look like your dad.
I appreciate that. I think we all do at different ages.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like the young Muddy, I think.
All right. We're going to let you go, my friend. You have a great Thanksgiving. You and Deborah have some fun and enjoy your honeymoon year. And we'll see you as soon as we can.
Sounds good, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you soon, sir.
Same to you, my friend. And in the meantime, let's play some chess, people. Here's going back to the EP, title track, the first single that introduced the world to Joseph Mojo Morganfield.
You're feeling blue. You're looking down. Well, we're going to rock away that frown. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're going to throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. They gave the blues Chicago soul. Taught the world to rock and roll. Otis Rush and Otis Band, Maybelline and I'm a Man. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Coco comes to fuss and fight. Jimmy Rogers say that's alright. The Mannish Boy, the Seven Son, Howlin' Wolf, and I ain't done. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Play chess.